What's going on, everybody? It's your boys, Damian Parson, Keith Sanchez. Welcome back to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. Keith, brother, what's up, man?
Damian, what's going on, my brother? You know, like I always say, man, I'm excited anytime we get to do this, talk some football, especially talk some college football, right? Really gets gets you excited. You know, we have a really good topic coming up. We're at the point where you know, we have some quarterback battles going on, right? Like some guys right in the thick of it, and it's at some very prominent universities. So, man, let's kick this thing off and get started.
Let's talk about it, man. Let's start off in the ACC. You know, this team was pretty much a perennial playoff team for most of the past, what, like 5-6 years? You know, you look at when they had Trevor Lawrence there, and even going back when they had Deshaun Watson, we're talking about the Clemson Tigers. And they do have a little bit of a quarterback battle on their hands with DJ Uiagalelei versus Cole Klubnik. Now, DJU, Keith, he struggled last year. Like, let's go back to 2020 first. So 2020, that was, of course, the year COVID really hit the whole world. And I think it was for like 2 games, I believe, Trevor Lawrence was out with COVID. So he was out. And DJU stepped in, and he stepped in admirably, right? So he showcased why he was a 5-star recruit, why he was that big name pocket passer that everyone loved. You know, he threw for almost 1,000 yards in like 2 games, and he had a 5-touchdown, 0-interception, you know, performance in those games. Now you fast forward to 2021, Keith, and he's the starter. He's the guy that they're putting the weight of this program on his shoulders, and you have some big shoes to fill. Where Trevor Lawrence and the talent that was around him kept this team in the top three, you know, and it comes down to the playoff rankings and everything. And like I said, DJU just didn't have a great year. And he threw for 2,246, 2,246 yards. He threw for 9 touchdowns, Keith, and 10 interceptions with a QBR of 43.2, which led put him at 97th in the nation. Man, like, that's not good. You know, none of that is good. Yeah. And especially when you have more interceptions than touchdowns. And it was just the offense in general just didn't look right. Tony Elliott, who was the offensive coordinator, he's out. You know, he's not there anymore. He took a job elsewhere. You know, you got Justin Ross that's left and gone to the NFL, and they're just trying to reestablish themselves. And then they have this young kid, Cole Klubnik, coming in. Let's talk about this real quick, Keith. This QB battle, you know how college, and you know firsthand, like, colleges will take the QB battle not just into the spring, not just into summer training camp, but even somewhat into the season, where you start seeing both quarterbacks playing prominent snaps. What are your thoughts right now?
Well, man, I think you did a good job of just narrating everything as far as, you know, DJU's, you know, rise into the quarterback position, right? And I forgot that he stepped in those couple games and had really good games, right? I believe they played Notre Dame, and I believe they lost the game, but it came all the way down the wire, and it seemed to be of no fault of, you know, DJU. So with that being said, you know, you want to say that DJU can win this quarterback battle, but, you know, you have to kind of diagnose why was it an issue last year, right? And so I think it's a combination of two things. I think some of it is, you know, DJU's processing, but also we have to look at that wide receiver position, right? Clemson, they have replicas as far as body stature, size, speed, height, weight, speed guys. Like, all of them are 6'2", 6'3". All of them run probably around a 4.5. All of them are 205 pounds, right? So it's the exact same wide receiver group. And we always talk about having a versatile group, right? Like, you need your center. You need your jump ball guy, your red zone guy, your possession guy. But then you also need a small forward, right? A guy that can do everything, right? You can line them up in multiple positions. And then also you need your point guard, your short, shifty guy that can create matchup problems. And Clemson just doesn't have that at this point. So I'm not sure what direction to go with this. I'm definitely going to give my answer. But the thing is this, how do you, like, is DJU going to be able to improve if everything comes back exactly the same? That's the question. And for me, this is my prediction. I think they will give DJU the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that's Dabo Swinney just to move on from a guy after 1 year, but he's on an extremely short list moving into next year. And when I say extremely short, I'm talking 2-3 games. If it does not look really good, it can be an issue, because Cade Klubnik has shown to be a really good football player, albeit in high school. That's where all of these guys are great at, right? Like, that's when you realize the talent while they're in high school. So I think Cade right now is putting the pressure on him. And if he can find a way to just get this offense to hum at a pretty consistent level, that, you know, Clemson is even somewhat familiar, right? Because totally unfamiliar with putting up 10, 17 points. If he could just get this offense scoring 30 points a game, then DJU would be in trouble. So my prediction is this. DJU will win the quarterback battle coming out of the game, and then he will be on an extremely short list. So we definitely have to dive into, and that'll be a whole nother podcast, but we'll dive into the schedules, right? And see where this can possibly become a disruption point.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I think that's exactly how it's going to go. They're going to allow DJU is going to have his opportunities in the spring game and camp and everything, and then going into the summer to separate himself. And they're going to give him that benefit of the doubt. He's the veteran in that room. Now, and the thing about it, he's got to come in with that confidence from the neck up. He has to be prepared for this, because Cade Klubnik was the number one quarterback, you know, according to 24/7 Sports, and he's the number one ranked player in the state of Texas. He's, you know, he's an 18-year-old kid. He's a track athlete as well, running the 400. You know, as well, you know, as a sophomore, he's a long jumper and triple jumper. So he's an athletic kid. What I will say is that what I'm happy about is, you know, seeing that DJU has dropped some weight this offseason. Since the end of the season, he's dropped about 15 pounds since the season ended in December. So because he was always kind of a bigger kid, bigger dude, right? So seeing him drop that weight, what that tells me is, okay, he wants to be more reactive and quicker in the pocket in terms of negotiating quick pressure, being able to just get off of a read, be able to move his body. Because at the end of the day, we all know, like, your mind can want to do something, but if you physically can't maneuver and move at the pace that your mind's moving, it doesn't matter how quick you process pressure coming if your body can't physically make it happen.
Yep, I would say this too. He probably cut weight because they plan on running him more. I think last year, and this was something I knew, you know, scouting him out of high school, that he was a pretty decent athlete. And what I'm saying is that he obviously isn't Lamar Jackson-esque. It's probably more Dak Prescott or Donovan McNabb types, but those are guys that can still hurt you with their legs, right? And when you think about that Clemson offense in the past, one of Trevor Lawrence's his resume runs is that run against Ohio State, right? And that's one of his, resume plays, period. So you think about Deshaun Watson, extremely mobile guy, even taking it back 10 years ago, you know, when they had other mobile quarterbacks. So I think this offense has always had a quarterback that can kind of get out of trouble, but also they can call run plays for the quarterback. So that's interesting that you thought that you came up with that with him cutting weight, because I believe during the middle of the season last year, everybody was wondering, like, man, why aren't they running the ball with this guy? Because it's easier, man, when it's second and 10, just to have quarterback power in there. And like we talked about, DJU is a big kid. That second and 10 goes to third and 5. And it's like, okay, right now we can, you know, this is short area football right here. And we can run a, you know, the stick play, right? Or we can run a stick nod and get this first down. So it's all about staying on time and timing with the chain. So I'm glad you brought up that point, because that actually it should be a note that we should take, and definitely our listeners should take, if Clemson decides to run the football a whole lot more with DJU.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, they have a talented freshman who's going to be a sophomore this year, Will Shipley, the running back. And I hyped him up in during the summer last year. And he was their leading rusher, 739 yards rushing, averaged 5 yards to carry. And he had 11 touchdowns, man. And the thing about it is just with
He's from the Carolinas. Huh? He's from your neck of the woods, right?
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's from my side of town. So, you know, I got a lot of love for the young man. He's really talented, man. And I think they also had, I'm blanking on his name right now, but it was a kind of a shorter, stocky slot receiver that kind of popped up during the season last year. And I was like, okay. So it's like, cause one of the main things with them, like you talk about the carbon copies, they are literally like that person that just literally goes into their computer and just copy and paste and how they recruited their receivers. And I remember being told that last offseason. I was like, man, Trevor Lawrence loved those big body receivers. He would love to throw the 50-50 ball, the back shoulder, the bang eight. He loved to put it up and let his guys go and play power forwards. And I don't think DJU is that type of quarterback. He's somebody that wants more of the route runners and natural separators where he can put the ball, let these boys catch and run and make plays, right? So this is going to be very interesting because when you talk about running the ball, Cade Klubnik is already probably more athletic than DJU is, even with the weight being dropped. So if they do want to open up the playbook, like DJU's gonna have to come in and really show, hey guys, you can do everything you want to do with me at quarterback. And then, like you said, from a processing standpoint, take those next steps, man. Because what he showed me in those two games as a spot starter, he's talented. That talent didn't just go away. It didn't evaporate. Right. It didn't disappear. Yeah. It's just the fact that, you know, the team itself last year also wasn't good. Offensive line was leaky. You talk about the receivers weren't great. You know, the best thing they had was the young freshman running back. So now they're coming in, you know, bringing in more recruits and more talented young receivers. Just get this offensive line up to par. They are losing some defenders, but they got a really nice D line. So the framework is there, and they're playing the ACC. So it's not a highly competitive as in like you dealing with a lot of top dogs in the ACC. So they still have a chance. They just got to make the right pick at quarterback, Keith. And I'm going to agree with you. I think it's going to be DJU, but DJU's got a short leash. He's got to come in there and command this thing and find consistency. Not just, you know, throughout the season. I'm talking snap to snap, you know, drive to drive, series to series, half to half, game to game. He's got to find that consistency and not just find it, but he's got to hold on to it and keep it, Keith.
Yeah, because one thing we know, man, Clemson is not used to losing.
At all. If you think Dabo's going to go through another season like that again, no, he's not putting up with that. Dabo will bench him and go with the young kid if, you know, at the end of the day, if DJU doesn't get it up to par. But let's transit. Let's go to the SEC for a little bit.
Oh, here we
let's
go. Talk Baby, some SEC I'm football, home man. Now. I'm home now. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk some SEC football, man. And we have in Auburn, right? Auburn last year. Their quarterbacks last year accounted for a combined 17 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. You know, and you know, looking at these two quarterbacks, I think that they have on the roster right now, TJ Finley, Zach Calzada. Zach Calzada is a Texas A&M transfer. You know, We talked to Leon O'Neal. That was part of the discussion where how they kind of the defense led that team and they leaned on the run game with Isaiah Spiller, Devin Achane, and everything like that. Now he's over there. For him, he's going to another team with another talented run game with Tank Bigsby, you know, one of the best running backs in college football, toting the rock for that offense, Keith. And TJ Finley, more of the – he's a bigger, kind of big arm young man. And like when I first saw him, I was like, "Yo!" And if I remember correctly, is he an LSU transfer? Because he's 6'7", like 240. So unreal size at quarterback.
Yep. No.
He's
an LSU transfer. You know, just background on the kid. He's from Louisiana. I want to believe he stepped in his freshman year, and you know, it was a roller coaster, right? But that's to be expected from a freshman. And when I say that, him and Max Johnson kind of went back and forth as far as quarterback battle. TJ, you know, he was able to start some games. He won the game against Arkansas. Then he played really well against South Carolina to where, you know, obviously I was on the sideline, but the whole crowd was, you know, yelling his name. There was a crowd chant, you know, so it was like TJ is next up, you know, which was really cool. But then, you know, it's the SEC, right? So we hit a bit of a rough patch as far as who we played. And I think he had that Alabama Auburn stretch And, you know, it just wasn't as good. So, you know, they just, him and Max continued to battle. But yeah, then that's when he wound up transferring to Auburn this past year.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, you look at this entire thing right now, like Zach Calzada, last year he threw for 17 touchdowns. He had 9 interceptions for Texas A&M. And the only reason why this is a true battle right now is because Bo Nix transferred out to Oregon, who we'll talk about at a later date, you know, in terms of QB battle. But TJ Finley, he's a pocket passer. He doesn't have the skill set to run the ball and be dynamic. Again, he's 6'7", 240, almost 250 pounds, but he can sling the rock. He's got an arm. He can really throw the ball. But the main thing for him, accuracy, ball placement, being efficient with the football as well. There are two, you know, when he did, you know, play last year, he had a lot of, you know, a lot of moments where it was under 60% completion. You know, Alabama, they went to four overtimes. He was 17 of 26 for just 137. He did throw two touchdowns, but, you know, you need more from your quarterback, right? Zach Calzada, you know, coming in, he's not a small kid by any means. I mean, he may look small compared to TJ Finley, but, you know, he's 6'4", 210. And against Alabama himself, you look at the vast comparison between the two. He was 21 of 31, 285, almost 68% completion with 3 touchdowns. He did have the 1 interception, but he played almost mistake-free football, and he was able to push the ball downfield, get the ball to his playmakers, as well as put the ball in the paint, baby. Get them touchdowns, because that's what you need to stick with a team like Alabama. So what are your thoughts on this QB battle, especially knowing with your experience with TJ Finley? How do you think this thing shakes out?
Yeah, well, first of all, man, I can say this. This is why we are who we are, right? Because a lot of people aren't talking about this quarterback battle, but when you really dig into it, this is a very intriguing quarterback battle with variants of prospects, right, as far as the quarterbacks that's on his team. And you did a good job really laying out the backgrounds and up until this point, right? And I think it's a real quarterback battle because I think you're trying to see which quarterback can, I guess, fix their deficiencies throughout the offseason. Obviously, we talked about TJ Finley and, you know, his situation as far as – it's really completion percentage, right? But I think part of that can be attributed to just him getting there and getting acclimated with everybody, right? Because that was a Bo Nix situation also. I don't think he was going into the season as the expected quarterback. And then, you know, obviously the situation with Bo Nix, and then TJ kind of had to finish the season off. But it just wasn't a fluid in timing wise. And when you talk about those pocket passing quarterbacks, it's all about time, right? Because they're not going to beat you with their legs to be able to extend the play. So they need everything detailed. They need everything to be right on point. Just how we practiced it is how it has to go in the game. And that comes with practice reps, that comes with mental reps, that comes with being in the meeting rooms with each other, that comes with on-site adjustments, that comes through pre-play adjustments, that comes with during the play adjustments, right? And all those things have to kind of synchronize and be right when it's not a mobile quarterback. And that's not killing TJ. I seen TJ Finley throw the football and he can flat out spin it. Like he can throw it with some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I promise you that. Like his arm talent is just that spectacular, and he does it effortlessly. So this is a guy that has a high upside and potential. Then you go to Zach Calzada, and you know, you watch him in that Alabama game, right? And he played really well, like against you know what, they Alabama went all the way to the national championship, and this kid really showed up and showed out. So you know, he's another guy that has that tough and that grit to him. And you want to know if he can make the play when it matters, right? And I think he kind of showed that last year. So I think this is a really good quarterback battle. I think, man, this is tough because I'm trying to get my prediction, right? This is tough. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to roll with TJ Finley. I think TJ Finley will start the year as the starter, and then, you know, obviously there'll be a little pressure, but I'm, you know, knowing TJ, he's not fearing that, right? But I think TJ will be able to get it done through spring ball and into the season. And it's gonna be up to the weapons too, man, because Auburn historically doesn't really have just dynamic playmakers at receiver and tight end. Like it's you know, it like usually before it was, you know, with it was Gus Malzahn, it was a running team, you know, so they didn't even, I don't think they prioritized really having dynamic receivers. So you kind of have receivers from that regime kind of playing in this new regime where they're accounted, you know, counted on to be able to catch the ball, run after the catchability and make those tough catches. So, man, it's going to be up to the receivers to show up as far as with TJ Finley, but I'm expecting TJ Finley to ultimately win the battle early on.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Now, don't get me wrong, they do have two other quarterbacks, you know, freshman quarterback Holden Grenier, I believe is how you pronounce the last name, and Robbie Ashford. And they had their spring game, and the reports were that the tight ends were heavily involved in that spring game. And then you think about the fact that, you know, also the offensive line struggled. And now, granted, I think several of the starters weren't, because they have a senior filled offensive line. But several of those starters weren't available. So it's like, you know, for them right now, even with the spring game, things are just a little, it's still kind of murky. It's still a lot of smoke and waiting for that smoke to clear. And we're going to see how, because I think their first game is September the 9th. We're going to see how it all works out, because once you get the offensive line healthy, get all these guys available, you start getting out, you know, start really getting into that summer camp and training camp and seeing who's sticking out, right? So now, you know, like you said, with TJ Finley having the arm talent and everything, it's all about that ball placement, the accuracy, being consistent. Zal Calzada has played some big games last year, you know, against LSU, against Alabama, in the victory against Alabama. So he's kind of tested a little bit. And then, like I said, you got these other young guys who are also in the mix. So I think TJ Finley, I'm actually going to go with Zal Calzada, though. I think Zal Calzada's season, what he went through last year with Texas A&M, and him being thrusted into that position, right? Because it was supposed to be Haynes King who was supposed to be the quarterback at Texas A&M after Kellen Mond left, but King got hurt early, and Calzada had to step in and be the guy for them at the quarterback position. And he played some admirable football. He played some solid ball. I'm gonna roll with him to start it out. I think he could possibly be the more consistent in terms of right now. Brian Harsin has to figure out, all right, which one of these quarterbacks can I coach up to where we think about the potential and ceiling of the team that can get us to that where we want to be, right? That next level where we are not just kind of in the middle ground of the SEC, but we are a talented team that when these recruits come to our games for these visits, that they see a competitive, tough, physical football team that is going to be someplace that they want to call home for the next 3-4 years of their college careers when they do come in, as well as those transfer portal guys also. So Brian Harsin has some work to do over there in Auburn, but I'm excited to see how they shake out, because like I said, they got the run game. They have a senior filled O-line. The weapons on the outside, man, like I said, from looking at the report from camp, from the spring game, it was tight end heavy. And so we're going to see how these receivers can kind of acclimate themselves, because when you start getting Tank Bigsby rolling, man, we know what the run game can do to a defense. How it pulls that safety down. Let's get somebody in the box. Let's go ahead and stop this. Let's stop this one guy, Tank Bigsby. We got to stop him. Now, which quarterback's going to be able to take advantage of those one-on-one windows, Keith? That's going to be the question.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that 100%. And, you know, looking at it, right, because you did a good job of painting, I guess you would say, the macro picture of the team, right? Auburn usually has that tough, gritty team. You know, they usually give Alabama a tough battle. They're a running team. So I think that they have to get back to that identity, running the football. Then it has to be play action and making the right plays off of already having established the run. And I think what quarterback can keep the team in rhythm, mixing in the run, staying ahead of the chains, and then delivering those timely passes will be the guy that shows up as the number one guy.
Absolutely. And we're going to stick with the SEC to pretty much close this out. And we're going to go to Florida. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Florida's spring game is this evening, if not going on right now. And Keith, we know that last year, you know, after what 2020 was, I think there was a season where Kyle Trask was a, you know, Heisman candidate, right? It just kind of the guy that no one expected, right? He wasn't body beautiful. He didn't have the big arm. He wasn't mobile, but man, he put up numbers. And then after he went to the NFL and was drafted last year by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then it kind of opened some things up coming into 2021. Like, okay, what do we, you know, who's the quarterback? And everybody knew it was going to be Emory Jones, the guy who they wanted to, when they wanted some big plays, some dynamic plays, change some things up. He was that change up pitcher for them, basically. Yeah. So he came in, he would run the ball, you know, read option and everything, Keith. But he was supposed to be the starter last year, and it just, you know, and it's not, I don't think it's all we could put on Emory, because you know, Dan Mullen just not sure what was going on with his play call. Put that the best way that I could, Keith. You know, like I wasn't sure what was happening with his play call. You know, you got a dog in the backfield and Damian Pierce, and it's just like, you know, I'm gonna give you the ball every once in a while. You know, just to keep you enthused, you know, but I'm not going to feed you the ball. And you look at what Emory Jones was able to do in that offense, 2,700 yards passing, 19 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. And we know that he's almost 800 yards rushing on the season, but they have a talented young man, you know, in Anthony Richardson, who is also another, he's 6'4", 236, redshirt sophomore. He's someone that can move as well. Bill Napier has some talent in the quarterback room, and then you can't forget about the Ohio State transfer Jack Miller as well. But Keith, how are we feeling right now? You know, going into the spring game and everything. Emory Jones, Anthony Richardson, how are we feeling about this?
Man, I think it's 100% Anthony Richardson. I think you've seen enough from this guy last year, just his dynamic of, you know, running ability, right? And it's not a finesse running style. It's a style that imposes its will on defenses, right? Like, it's a style that safeties and cornerbacks don't want to tackle him, right? And then he can also put a move on linebackers and defensive linemen. So it's a style that comes with establishing a culture and identity as an offense. And so I think that's special. Now, can he be better throwing football? Yeah, he can, right? In college, sometimes it's about just having those playmakers, and how many times can you give the ball to your playmaker? And, right. Any other situation as far as just having Anthony Richardson as the quarterback, like you're the Florida Gators, like leaning on Emory Jones, I think if he had the ability to do it, he would have done last year. I think you said they had Jack on the team, you know, Ohio State transfer. I feel like you would have heard more buzz about it, right? Right. So I'm rolling Anthony Richardson. And just to take it back to Napier, what he had at ULL, this is a guy that they emphasized the run game. Like they believed in a tough team. Yeah, I think this team went up to, was it Iowa State, and they upset Iowa State as a group of five schools. So they, you know, Billy Napier knows how to play big time football. And I think it's all about establishing the trenches up front. And Anthony Richardson kind of goes along with that mentality because of his dynamic running ability. Florida has the athletes, they have the running backs, they have a stable of running backs. So if I'm Florida, I'm practicing 50 different run concepts, right? Because we're going to come out and we're going to establish the run, and we're going to do it different ways. We're going to run split zone. We're going to run power. We're going to run counters. We're going to run inside zone. We're going to run outside zone. We're going to run sweep.
That's music to my ears, Keith. That's music to my ears, baby. You know I'm all about the run game.
and we're going to do it all. We're doing draw plays. It doesn't matter. We're going to establish the run, though, and really start to get Florida back to having that identity, because I think under – you know, Dan Mullen, obviously he's a, you know, offensive genius, but sometimes that can take you too far down to where you don't just keep it simple, right? And Florida lost some of that pizzazz as far as being a physically tough team. So I think in order to shift that back, I think you have to be, you know, kind of lean more on the run game and then surround Anthony Richardson with pieces. But he's definitely a guy that you can win games with and go pretty far as possibly making it to the SEC championship and even to the playoffs.
Yeah, and like I said, Florida's never inept in terms of talent. You know, it's a team that always recruits well. They always find talented players, as we see with, you know, Zachary Carter, who we will have a interview coming up at the end of this show. But, you know, you have Zachary Carter and, you know, on the D-line, you got, Moon at linebacker, and then Brenton Cox on the defensive side of the football at the pass rusher inset, and then Trell Miller at, you know, middle linebacker. They always find a way to keep talent in the house. And Anthony Richardson, to me, like I said, the numbers to me, looking at Emory Jones' numbers, are a little bit deceiving, because he had like a 400-yard game against, I think it was Sam Houston State or some really like a Division III school. So his numbers were even deceiving, because he's – watching him, I was always frustrated. I always wanted more. I know how dynamic you are as a runner, but being in college for 4 years, this is what, his fifth year, I think he's a fifth-year senior, I have not seen enough strides as a passer to say, you know what, you can get us to where, to that promised land, to that SEC championship, the way that we were able to get there with Kyle Trask. Because at the end of the day, Kyle Trask was able to get us there with his arm, just being accurate with the football, getting it to Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney and those playmakers, and Grimes on the outside as that jump ball guy. I think, like you said, Anthony Richardson, he has some growing pains as a passer that he has to go through, and that's fine. But he's going to he gives you that physicality in the run game, some explosiveness as well as a dual threat quarterback, and the arm talent is absolutely there. So I would, you know, and like I said, the spring game is actually going on right now. It just started. It's on ESPN Plus, I believe. So I plan on trying to tune in between typing up my paper, because I want to see what's going on down in the swamp. Let's see what the Chomp Chomp has to show us in this orange and white spring game.
Yeah, and the thing is this: if I'm a Florida Gators fan, I'm excited about Anthony Richardson, because we've seen this brand of football win before with Tim Tebow, right? And I hate to compare, guys who haven't accomplished it yet to, you know, legends, right? Because Tim Tebow is a college football legend. But what I'm saying is this: like we, if you're a Florida fan, you've seen his recipe already, right? This is not something that you're making up or a possibility. Like, this is something that has happened. You've had a big, powerful quarterback that can run the football, and then you implement these jet sweeps, handoffs. You put really good athletes out there to kind of supplement some of the accuracy issues, right? But you give those dynamic playmakers, and you're a run first team, and you do everything off of the run, right? And we've seen that work before, obviously, with Tim Tebow. And I think Anthony Richardson can give you that next step. And when you're building a program up to what it needs to be, it's steps, right? Like, you don't go from, especially in college football, it's not like the NBA or, you know, the NFL, any other sport. It takes steps as far as you go from being in the middle of the pack in your conference to your next step should be battling to win to win your side of the conference. So next year, you know, like, our next step is to battle to beat Georgia in the SEC East, right? Then after you're able to do that, then your next step is SEC championship or college football playoffs. So I think this year you should be focused on, you know what, how do we get good enough to win? It's the Florida-Georgia game, and I believe they play in Jacksonville, right? It's a big rivalry game where we're competitive in that game, and it's a 50-50 coin toss on who is winning that game. That's where Florida wants to get to this year. So I think Anthony Richardson really gives them that opportunity.
I agree. I completely agree. And like I said, at the end of the day, it's all about the ceiling. Like, you know, who's going to be able to run that scheme? Who's going to be able to do it effectively and efficiently? And then at the end of the day, who has the potential that I can coach you to not just reach the ceiling and touch it, but shatter it? Let's get to another level, right? Let's touch the sky next. So that's what I'm kind of looking at. And I think Anthony Richardson definitely gives them that. And it's what I mean. Like I said, I'm definitely going to watch this spring game, because I'm excited to see what they do, man. I'm going to pull up my phone. I'm going to tune into it. And I'll definitely let you know what I see from the Florida, I think it's, like I said, it's the blue and white spring game that's taking place right now. So guys, listen, we are in the full swing of things. I know it's draft season and everything is kind of coming to an end in the next 2 weeks, but that means college football is getting a little closer, Keith. So we got a lot more stuff to talk about, baby. These spring games, you know, moving parts, man. I'm so excited to see just kind of what how everything unfolds. And as we get closer and closer and closer to the season, that's why that's where the bread and butter is, baby. That's where bread's buttered right there in the season. When we get there, get to see some college football, some of this competitiveness. I can't wait, man. Keith, as always, brother, this, you know, it's always fun to sit down and talk with you. But guys, I'm Damian Parson. That's Keith Sanchez of the Talent Factor Podcast. Remember, the finals are Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all your other major podcasting networks. Keith, what's the slogan, baby?
And remember, talent is always the factor, baby.